The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
It started on New Year's Eve in the city of Cologne, Germany, where large crowds of what police describe as Arab men began sexually assaulting terrified young women.
The assaults play straight into public fears that the influx of refugees would also bring a crime wave.
He said it appears the two vessels went into Iranian territorial waters. 10 U.S. sailors are currently being held on Farsi Island, a tiny landmass in the middle of the Persian Gulf, which is controlled by Iran's Revolutionary Guards.
No, there's no apology. There's nothing to apologize for. And there was no looking for any apology. Okay. I mean, this was just standard nautical practice.
It was a mistake. That was our fault. And we apologize for our mistake. It was a misunderstanding. We did not mean to go into Iranian territorial water.
I want to underscore how pleased I am that our sailors were safely returned into the United States hands this morning. I also want to thank the Iranian authorities for their cooperation and quick response.
President Barack Obama has called the new chapter in U.S.-Iran relations historic progress following the nuclear deal with Tehran.
The nuclear deal also went into effect this weekend.
Under the nuclear deal that we, our allies and partners, reached with Iran last year, Iran will not get its hands on a nuclear bomb. The region, the United States, and the world will be more secure.
This is a bad mistake of historic proportions.
Scalia, a conservative icon, died Saturday at the age of 79.
Justice Scalia was one of the most consequential Americans in our history and a brilliant legal mind who served with only one objective, to interpret and defend the Constitution as written.
A disputed island, and now also a militarized one. Satellite images appear to show 8 surface-to-air missile launchers being installed on Woody Island by the Chinese military between February 3rd and February 14th.
History in the making. President Obama is about to land in Cuba.
The reason is logic. If you keep on doing something over and over again for 50 years and it doesn't work, it might make sense to try something new.
Two explosions have been heard at Brussels Airport. Smoke has been seen rising from one of the terminal buildings.
And then, as the airport was being evacuated, another explosion at a subway station.
Brussels has been hit by 2 blind, violent, cowardly attacks.
ISIS has claimed responsibility. At least 31 people have been killed and 170 people hurt.
A blockbuster release of millions of financial documents has European and Asian leaders running for political cover. The so-called Panama Papers paint a picture of widespread corruption and tax evasion by wealthy and famous people from a number of countries.
Pope Francis has received the Charlemagne Prize, the most prestigious distinction in Europe, at the Vatican.
Egypt Air fly dropping off radar overnight on its way from Paris to Cairo with 66 people on board. The Airbus A320 plunging into the Mediterranean Sea.
Today in Hiroshima, history made with every step. President Obama walking where 7 decades of American presidents would not.
71 years ago.
In what will go down as the worst mass shooting in American history. At least 50 people are dead, at least 53 people are injured after a gunman opened fire at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida.
Look at that, they're shooting back.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Just before 1 o'clock today, Joe Cox, MP for Batley and Spenborough, was attacked in Market Street, Bristol, that she has died as a result of her injuries.
Cast in favour of leave was 82,000.
The UK has voted to get out of the European Union.
in a referendum that's divided the country.
The official results are in. The people of Britain have spoken, voting.
And as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction.
It is seismic. There are predictions that it will cause enormous turmoil inside the European Union itself.
Let me read you what Herbert Armstrong wrote in 1956. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe, but Britain will be no part of it.
The EU's foreign policy chief is pushing ahead with closer security cooperation within the bloc amid plans for a single European army.
The Europeans need to face up to what's going on and whether it's going to be a European army.
Europe can and must enable, without further delays, a real defense dimension.
Common military force.
Run a single European army is needed to ensure a, quote, credible foreign policy.
From such a group, an EU army could eventually arise.
But it is developing just as prophesied in Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire
with a common currency and a common military force.
This is a person with a big magazine.
Breaking news in Dallas, Texas, where at least 5 police officers were killed when they were ambushed by at least 2 snipers.
Another terror attack, this one in France, the city of Nice. It happened on Bastille Day.
They were celebrating the national holiday when the truck began mowing people down.
More than 80 people are dead.
The Islamic State is claiming responsibility.
The world watched in shock as a military coup unfolded in Turkey.
Know that the Turkish military has now issued a statement, at least elements of the Turkish military has issued a statement saying that they have overthrown the government of President Erdogan.
The army attempted to put Turkey's main cities into lockdown.
Terror has struck Europe once again. Earlier today, an 18-year-old German-Iranian opened fire, killing 9, wounding 16 others in Munich.
The Obama administration is denying that a $400 million cash payment to Iran as 4 detained Americans were being freed was in fact ransom.
In basic English, you're saying that you wouldn't give them the $400 million in cash until the prisoners were released, correct?
That's correct.
Chancellor Angela Merkel's CDU party has suffered its second election blow in 2 weeks, slumping to its lowest level since 1990.
A state of emergency is declared in North Carolina amid another night of unrest in Charlotte.
A 7-point Clinton lead in the state of New Hampshire.
A 7-point Clinton lead among likely voters in this Detroit News survey.
Shows Hillary Clinton with a 6-point lead.
Wall Street Journal poll puts Hillary Clinton 11 points ahead of Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump is the president of the United States elect.
And we will make America great again. God bless you and good night. I love you.
There are demonstrations in major American cities across the country tonight over the election of Donald Trump as president. Protesters gathered in Philadelphia, Seattle, Boston, Portland, Oakland, California, Chicago, and New York.
Tonight, Fidel Castro, the communist dictator from Cuba, who defied 11 American presidents and pushed the world to the brink of nuclear war, is dead.
The Syrian army says it has retaken full control of Aleppo after evacuating the last rebel fighters from the city. It's President Bashar al-Assad's biggest victory in the 5-year civil war.
Shocking violence at the opening of an art exhibit in Turkey as Russia's ambassador to that country is gunned down while making a speech.
Terrorist attack in Germany. A truck plowing into a crowd of tourists out shopping for Christmas, killing at least 12.
It was far too reminiscent of Nice. It was just far too reminiscent of Nice.
ISIS is claiming it inspired the Berlin attacker.
President Obama directs his UN ambassador to allow passage of an unprecedented United Nations resolution condemning settlement construction in Israel.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was furious about this resolution, and he is still furious about this.
Friends don't take friends to the Security Council.
This was a U.S. operation all the way.
This is insane. This is so beyond anything we've seen in 40 years. It's just stunning.
World leaders are perplexed. They're frightened. They have no solutions. The unthinkable has become very thinkable, and hundreds of millions now are beginning to worry about it.
Well, that's just
That's a summary of just 2016. A look back at this past year, the year the wheels came off, according to one column that I read a few days ago. That last bit there, Herbert Armstrong, who prophesied of so many of these events that we're now seeing, talking about the unthinkable becoming very thinkable. Hundreds of millions of people beginning to worry about it. A nuclear deal with Iran on the 30th anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death, January 16, 2016. The path cleared for Iran to build a nuke. Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror. And then you look around the world, you see China militarizing the South China Sea. All of these terrorists, these terrorist strikes in Brussels, in Nice, in Munich, Orlando, Berlin here recently. The war on police in the United States. American cities, so many of them, fraught with violent protests, anarchy, Brexit back in June, the plans over the summer, and as it's really carried or picked up steam here after the election of Donald Trump, the plans for a single European army. Who told you about this decades ago? Who prophesied this? What a year this has been. We had a Russian ambassador assassinated just a couple of weeks ago. You have the United States attacking the lone democracy in the Middle East. It's like Benjamin Netanyahu said on Wednesday, following Secretary of State John Kerry's 70-minute diatribe against the little state of Israel. And Mr. Netanyahu saying, does he not see what else is happening in this region? And to go on the attack against Israel for apartments in East Jerusalem? He's furious, as you heard there in the montage. What a year it's been. The year the wheels came off. Reuters says here, this is from last week, yes, 2016 was bad. Next year could be worse. Well, we don't want to just focus in on the negative. But it is prophesied to get a lot worse before it finally gets better. Before it finally gives way to a righteous administration ruling the earth. 2016 was bad. Millions are beginning to worry. The unthinkable has become very thinkable. Reuters says 2016 looks set to keep throwing out unexpected, often brutal, surprises right to its end. And this is Reuters writing a week or two ago. And look at what's happened just in the last week. I mean, all of these unexpected, even brutal surprises right through to the end. Here you have a story just today in the Telegraph about these secret files coming out of London, revealing what Margaret Thatcher thought about a newly unified Germany back in 1989 and 1990. We went through this just a week and a half ago. Those papers revealed from the Kremlin back in, what was it, 2009? And now these secret documents revealed from 10 Downing Street. Could it happen again? Could history repeat itself? If Germany did this back in the 1940s, should we just assume that it can never happen again? Shouldn't we be concerned about a newly reunited Germany? I'll get into that more in the next segment. But what a year it's been. Brutal surprises, right up through to the end. Reuters says here, if 1989, the year the Berlin Wall fell, was the point at which globalization, liberal democracy, and the Western view of modernity was seen to triumph, the year now concluding might be seen as when the wheels came off. That's how you might view 2016. The year the wheels came off. Everything is unraveling, in case you haven't noticed. It says the electoral surprises of the Brexit vote and the election of Donald Trump, as well as dozens of other examples across the globe, are stark reminders of just how much consensus has unraveled. The next year could see a step back, a step towards moderation, but it could equally see things spiral further out of control. I mean, Reuters is saying, we just don't know. Maybe we'll take a step forward in the next year, but I mean, things could also spiral out of control. Just look around you. Look at what's happening. It says here, the assault on a Christmas market in the German capital has made the return of the far right to power in Germany more plausible. Even if it still looks unlikely to happen in next year's national vote, the Berlin deaths could also boost the chances of far-right National Front leader Marine Le Pen in France's 2017 presidential election. All of these political upheavals, in response to these brutal surprises, it is possible, Reuters says, that the forces of moderation might stage something of a recovery next year. As we saw in Austria's presidential election, even this year, extremists have not always won. Well, that's like Brad McDonald brought out previously. Okay, the forces of moderation won in Austria, but barely, just barely. And when you have 35, 40, 45%, these extremist movements getting that kind of support, think about the direction. Step back for a moment and look at the big picture. What a year it's been. 2016, the year the wheels came off. Everything's beginning to unravel. It says what 2016 has demonstrated most, however, is that nothing is truly unthinkable anymore. Well, who prepared us decades ago for the unthinkable? You heard it there at the end of that montage. The unthinkable has become very thinkable, Mr. Armstrong said, on more than one occasion, in fact. What 2016 has demonstrated most is that nothing is truly unthinkable anymore, Reuters says, or at least that a host of options previously judged unthinkable are much more likely than anyone previously thought. Well, as I say, Mr. Armstrong came along with that message, even leading into World War II, following World War II, telling us that the unthinkable is prophesied to happen. Let me just play another clip for you from Herbert Armstrong's television show, I think this is. This is clip 8, and this is him speaking back in the 1980s about what he discussed with many of the world leaders around the world. This is clip 8.
As world conditions mount closer and closer to the unthinkable nuclear World War III, I continue to have talks with heads of state all over the world. I go as an unofficial ambassador for world peace, and yet I am actually the ambassador of Jesus Christ, who is the coming head of state over all nations, the coming ruler over the entire world. As a minister of Jesus Christ, many people ask, well, what do I talk about when I talk to the heads of nations? Well, we talk about world conditions, about problems that they have, and their solutions. The causes of events. Now, that's precisely what Jesus Christ himself talked about when he came over 1950 years ago.
He came into a world that was full of troubles. Only those troubles have mounted in the past 1,950 years. But that was the message that God Almighty sent by him, the causes of these troubles, the way out of these troubles, and the final solution, and the bringing in of world peace. And that's what I go talking about.
That's Herbert Armstrong from the 1980s, his television program. It's a simple message. Comes right out of the Bible, comes right out of the Gospels, straight from Jesus Christ. Christ came into this world, and it was a world full of troubles, as Mr. Armstrong said there, and those troubles have mounted in the past 1950 or nearly 2,000 years. And let me tell you, those troubles have surely mounted in 2016. A year that might be seen as when the wheels came off, Reuters says. What a year it's been. Reuters says what is also clear is that we have yet to see the true implications of much that happened in 2016. President-elect Trump is not yet in the White House. I mean, Brexit hasn't even been implemented yet. Donald Trump's not even in the White House. We haven't even had the elections yet in France, in Italy, in Germany, in the Netherlands. And so what does that mean for 2017? Is 2017 going to be a year where we swing back to moderation? Or is it the year when everything continues to spiral further out of control? What do you think? It says a Trump administration, however, may well swiftly find itself much more greatly at odds with China, the one thing that has cemented Beijing into the international system over the last 25 years, after all, has been that it has benefited greatly from being part of an increasingly free international trading system, something Trump clearly intends to push back against, if not dismantle entirely. We've talked about a trade war coming. You follow on what Trump was saying all the way through the campaign. What happens when the United States erects trade barriers and slaps tariffs on imports? How will other nations respond to this? And then what about Brexit? What about when it's actually implemented? What does that mean for Britain? What does it mean for Europe? It says here in Reuters, in part, that's because no one has any concept of what the European continent will look like politically by the end of next year. I mean, we have no idea. Well, we do, because of Bible prophecy. But what they're saying here is we just don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know is that in looking back at 2016... things are spiraling out of control. It says here, it seems less likely for now that the alternative for Deutschland, the far-right party in Germany, that has taken up to a third of the vote in several key German states this year, could itself topple Merkel, but the party could perform well enough that she's replaced by another more moderate figure. I mean, we could see a dramatic change in German politics, in other words. German leadership. Of course, we've been telling you for many, many years that change is coming. Change is coming in leadership all across Europe, particularly in Germany. It says here, finally, if nothing else, 2017 looks set to see a major pushback against the European and, to an extent much broader, liberal ideal of open borders and trade. The EU itself may not survive that. And then it talks about Europe's eastern flank, Russia, and all the interference that it's making. And then, of course, the future of NATO. The question about NATO's future and Donald Trump's statements about NATO, European security. It's been a complicated year, Reuters says, and don't count on 2017 being any easier. Don't count on it. Well, this is the time. Now is the time to open our eyes and to see what your Bible prophesies about all of these developments, so many of them. As I say at the top, you heard a good summarization of what's happened from January 1st right through to today. These past 12 months, this calendar year, a year that could be seen as one where the wheels came off. There's a prophecy in Amos 6 where God warns that we can't be at ease in Zion. Woe unto those who are at ease in Zion and to those who feel secure on the mountains of Samaria. Woe unto those who just think things are going to go on, they're going to carry on, and eventually the forces of moderation will prevail, and we'll get back to normal, and we can ignore what's happening in Syria, or in Russia, or in the South China Sea, or in Turkey, or in Germany, or in Austria. We can ignore all of these developments and just go back to our many distractions, our many pleasures, pleasure-seeking, as it says in 2 Timothy 3. Putting that, pleasure-seeking, even ahead of God. Mr. Armstrong said, the unthinkable, well, it's now becoming very thinkable. Very thinkable. And millions are beginning to worry. Sadly, though, not nearly enough are concerned. Let me just play for you another clip. This is a clip 10 from a message that Herbert Armstrong gave in December of 1983.
And everyone is beginning to realize now that we have come to the place where a nuclear war can blast all humanity out of existence, not leaving a man, woman, or child alive on the face of the earth. That includes every one of us. Now, in a world of absolutely awesome progress, and yet a world of appalling evils, as I've said so very many times, are we now reaching the end of human existence? Are we reaching human extinction from this planet? Is the crowning achievement of technology and science and massive governmental production going to be the Frankenstein that will destroy us all and blot out all humanity?
That's Herbert Armstrong from 1983 talking about the technology that's now there. The last world war, as my father has said before, it ended with two atomic weapons, two atomic blasts in Japan. Today you have 16,000 nuclear bombs scattered over all the earth. And there are those who want to just gloss over all of these problems, the fact that things are spiraling out of control. There are those who are confident in saying that, well, while there's a few messy spots on Earth, the world just keeps getting better and better and better. President Obama has said that. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24 that great tribulation is coming. Something this world has not seen ever before, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. And he goes on and says that unless those days are shortened, there wouldn't be anybody left. Obviously, that's an end-time prophecy. Man hasn't even been capable of killing off all of human civilization until just in the last couple of generations. That's a prophecy for our day. I mean, Jesus himself in Matthew 24 dated the prophecy. In The Incredible Human Potential, Herbert Armstrong wrote that it's time we face the hard, cold, realistic fact. Humanity has two alternatives. Either there is an almighty, all-powerful God who is about to step in and set up the kingdom of God to rule all nations with supernatural and supranational force to bring us peace, or else all human life will be obliterated. I mean, either God's going to intervene to save us, or we wipe ourselves out. That's reality. And it's time we face that hard, cold, realistic fact. You look back at the year, and it's sobering. And you look forward. Is it going to get better? Will the forces of moderation prevail? Well, picking up on that unthinkable, becoming thinkable theme, you might remember, some of you, my father's Trumpet article from February 2014, where he talked about the Second World War ending with the development of the nuclear bomb or the atomic bomb. But what kind of war are we talking about that begins, not ends, but begins with that kind of a weapon? That's where we are. That's where we are. The unthinkable is now very thinkable. Look at 2016. What a year it was. Now, in many ways, a very exciting year. A very exciting year because of how much prophecy is being fulfilled. All of these events, I mean, they lead into the greatest event in the history of the universe. That's the return of Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. But before that, we cannot ignore this potential for nuclear war. It's there. It's there, and as I've been bringing out this past year, nations are arming themselves. Even as the United States and Britain disarm, nations are arming themselves. Nations are preparing for war. America's enemies sense that there's weakness, that there's opportunity. Well, that same prophecy in Matthew 24, it says immediately after the tribulation, this is verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So here are the heavenly signs following the great tribulation. And then, verse 30, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's coming back in the exact same manner that he left this earth. As it says in Acts 1. But this time he's not coming as a lamb sacrifice. This time he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This time he's coming to forcibly put an end to human suffering and sin. This time he's coming to set up and establish the kingdom of God on earth. It says in the next chapter, Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He's going to rule the earth from the throne of David right after he kicks Satan off the throne of this earth. Revelation 12 shows us that Satan knows he has but a short time, and so he's filled with wrath, and that's why we saw what we saw in 2016. It's because the devil is the god of this world. And that's why it's going to continue to spiral out of control in 2017 and beyond. It's because the devil is the god of this world. It's because Satan the devil has deceived the world. But there's a time limit on Satan's reign. Revelation 12 brings this out. He knows he has but a short time. He knows that his rule is not just going to continue. And we can thank God for that. Because when the seventh angel sounds, as Revelation 11:15 says, then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he, Jesus Christ, shall reign forever and ever. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're coming up to the weekend now. Don't forget to email us over the next couple of days. You can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Herbert Armstrong often said it was more difficult to unlearn an erroneous supposed truth than it is to learn a new truth. Even after 58 years of faithfully serving God, he had not fully and clearly realized the significance of the fact revealed in Genesis 3, 22-24, that, in fact, God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until the removal of Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Traditional Christian teaching has always assumed there is a contest between God and Satan, that God has been trying desperately to get the world saved. In other words, God had sent Jesus Christ at his first coming to try to win this ongoing war against Satan. Traditional Christianity has taught that whosoever will may come and be saved through Jesus. For many years, Mr. Armstrong partially realized the error of this assumption, but the full truth on this point did not come crystal clear to his mind until the last few years of his life. This truth, fully explained in Mystery of the Ages, is indeed mind-boggling. This book clears what has been fully clouded in mystery. It will open your eyes to the truth of these long-hidden mysteries. This enlightening volume thoroughly explains precisely what the Bible says about the seven great mysteries of life. It is free upon request. For more, visit thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the show. I mentioned there at the top of the program this report coming out just today. This is from the Telegraph this morning, how that Margaret Thatcher had deep misgivings over reunification of Germany. That's what the National Archives reveal in the UK. This is amazing. These developments, and of course, it's just as part of the news cycle today. It'll eventually fall off the map, and no one will pay any attention to it. And that's why we've got to keep bringing it to your attention. You had those Kremlin papers in 2009, and then now this. And as I said in the December 21 program, a week and a half ago, or I guess a week ago, the United States was there, under the leadership of Ronald Reagan, pushing for German reunification, telling Gorbachev, you tear down that wall, telling Germany to unite, encouraging Germany to become more powerful. And that's just continued. That's just continued. And now you have Donald Trump about, he's not even in office yet. and he's encouraging Europe to build its own military. All of it in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And yet there have been some warnings along the way. Margaret Thatcher did sound the alarm, maybe not as openly as she should have back in 1989 and 90. But now, I mean, it's obvious what it was she was thinking. Deep misgivings. This Telegraph piece says aides to Margaret Thatcher had to persuade the conservative prime minister to overcome deep misgivings and welcome the reunification of Germany, official records show. It says while the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe represented a triumph for the West, Mrs. Thatcher feared a resurgent Germany would dominate the continent. That's what she feared in 1990. Was she right to worry about that? Have her fears been realized? I mean, this piece says that her foreign advisor, Charles Powell, had to twist her arm just to get her to say anything nice about Germany and its reunification. There was supposed to be a big official celebration, and she didn't want it to go forward because of these deep misgivings and her hostility. It says in the article, it ran so deep that it was setting off alarm bells in Washington. George Bush, the senior, he couldn't believe it. This is great. Germany needs to be powerful. Germany needs to be reunited. The Telegraph says ahead of reunification in March 1989, Mrs. Thatcher convened a secret meeting of British historians and at Chequers, her official residence, at which some expressed concerns that the country had not got over its Nazi past. Is it okay to bring this up? Or should we just turn a blind eye to that history? Recent history! Recent history! It says, according to a confidential minute prepared by Mr. Powell, the meeting examined questions such as, who are the Germans, have the Germans changed, and what will be the consequences of reunification? Yes, indeed. What will be the consequences? Where is this leading? Maybe not in 1991. Maybe not in 1995. But what about in 20 or 30 or 40 years down the road? Well, look at where we are today. Just wrapping up the calendar year 2016. A year that can be seen as one in which the wheels came off. The Telegraph says a range of views were aired, and Mr. Powell reported some at the seminar asked how a cultured and cultivated nation had a, this is speaking of Germany, and this is what they were discussing, March 1989. Mr. Powell reported that at the seminar, they asked how a cultured and cultivated nation had allowed itself to be brainwashed into barbarism. And if it had happened once, could it not happen again? I mean, could the unthinkable happen again, even on a much larger scale? It happened once. Could it happen again? It says apprehension about Germany did not relate just to the Nazi period, but to the whole post-Bismarckian era, and inevitably caused deep distrust. It's not just World War II. I mean, this has been the history. This has been far too many times in the national character. And if they can be brainwashed and duped one time, I mean, can it happen again? And if it's happened two and three times or four times, can it happen again? How foolish it would be to say, oh, no, nothing like this could ever happen again. How foolish. How blind. It says the way in which the Germans currently use their elbows and threw their weight about in the European community suggested that a lot had still not changed. That's in their discussion from 1989. Look at even before the Berlin Wall comes down, they're talking about Germany throwing its weight around. Have they really changed? He added, this is Powell, her foreign policy advisor. In sum, this is from the meeting in 1989. In sum, no one had serious misgivings about the present leaders or political lead of Germany. I mean, no one had misgivings about the present leaders in 1989. But what about 10, 15, 20 years from now? Could some of the unhappy characteristics of the past reemerge with just as destructive consequences? Those are notes from a meeting Margaret Thatcher had with her advisors in 1989. Could some of the unhappy characteristics of the past reemerge with just as destructive consequences? Could it be that history repeats itself? Well, here again, if you look at that program we put out just a week ago, the one where America can only see one enemy at a time. In the 1980s, all that we saw is Russia. Never mind Germany, never mind Iran. All we saw was Russia or the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union has to be confronted. The Soviet Union has to be brought down. And the United States wins the Cold War and everyone cheers. But what about this history? What about this? Could the unhappy characteristics from World War II, from Nazism in the 1940s, could that past reemerge with just as destructive consequences? We're not concerned about this current administration in Germany in 1989, but what about 10, 15, or 20 years from now? Very similar to what that Russian official said, according to those 2009 papers, or those papers revealed in 2009. Also from the same time period, the late 80s, early 90s. That Russian official, remember, saying that, look, 20, 30 years from now, if they reunite 20 or 30 years from now, Germany's going to start another world war. That's just been the history. Are we not supposed to discuss that? Should we ignore it? Should we turn a blind eye to it? That's what so many have done. You don't hear anything like that today, anywhere else. The warnings from 1989, I mean, the secretive warnings from 1989. You don't hear it anywhere else, except right here, KPCG, thetrumpet.com, my father's Key of David broadcast. Where else do you hear it? I mean, this is the God's work is like the lone voice on this earth. A voice crying out in the wilderness, like Mr. Armstrong was. What about 15, 20, 30 years from now? They were asking back in 1989, 1990. I mean, it may seem like it's a good thing now, but what about down the road? Well, here we are at the end of the 2016 calendar year. A year that could be seen as when the wheels came off. And what if things continue to spiral further out of control in 2017? You look at, as I covered with you on Wednesday, what the Obama administration is doing on the way out. Really, really persecuting Israel, sticking it to Israel, isolating Israel. What impact will this have on Israel's future, on Israel's relationship with the United States? Even if Mr. Trump gets in there and tries to repair the damage, what is Israel to think? Well, if it's this bad under one administration, I mean, how are we to know if Mr. Trump's even going to be in there beyond 4 years? In other words, how are they going to be able to trust the United States? Secretary of State John Kerry, he gave a speech on Wednesday. I couldn't comment on it yesterday because I wasn't doing the broadcast. But as the New York Times brought out yesterday, that speech, that 70-minute diatribe, was a powerful admonition after years of tension and frustration with the Obama administration giving public voice to its long-held concern that Israel was headed off a cliff toward international isolation and was condemning itself to a future of low-level perpetual warfare with the Palestinians. That's what Israel's doing, and we've got to sound the alarm, the Obama administration is saying. When in fact, as I said on Wednesday, it's the United States shoving Israel off the cliff. It's the United States who's isolating Israel. It's the United States who's emboldening the Palestinians and Israel's neighbors to bring down the Jewish state, to eliminate the Jewish state. Well, there was quite a lot of reaction to not only what happened last week at the UN, but to what Secretary of State John Kerry said on Wednesday. Coming from Mr. Netanyahu, coming from Republicans in the United States, coming from Democrats, Chuck Schumer, Theresa May in the UK. Lots of people in America, in Britain, certainly in Israel, that just can't even believe what's happening. Is this really happening? Is the United States really leading this anti-Israel movement? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Let me play for you a clip from Benjamin Netanyahu. This is how he responded to John Kerry's speech on Wednesday. This is clip number one.
But now I must express my deep disappointment with the speech today of John Kerry. A speech that was almost as unbalanced as the anti-Israel resolution passed at the UN last week. In a speech ostensibly about peace between Israelis and Palestinians, Secretary Kerry paid lip service to the unremitting campaign of terrorism that has been waged by the Palestinians against the Jewish state for nearly a century. What he did was to spend most of his speech blaming Israel for the lack of peace by passionately condemning a policy of enabling Jews to live in their historic homeland and in their eternal capital, Jerusalem.
I mean, this is an all-time low in U.S.-Israeli relations. That's where we are. The New York Times says the United States and Israel are in the middle of a breach rarely seen since President Harry S. Truman recognized the fragile Israeli state in May 1948. I mean, we haven't seen this. Here's another one you can add to the list of disturbing events from 2016. Seldom in modern American diplomacy has an American administration so directly confronted and disavowed a close ally's actions as Mr. Kerry did on Wednesday, dropping most of the restraint he had shown in public over the past 4 years. The gloves are off, in other words. And rare, I mean, we haven't seen these kinds of things happen. It's all Israel's fault. You pay lip service to this and this for 2 seconds, and then 70 minutes of blaming Israel for the lack of peace. Blaming Israel! It's like this cartoon I saw just the other day. The little state of Israel with a snake wrapped around its neck. And then President Obama, they're saying to Israel, look, you've got to try to understand this from the snake's perspective. You've got to try to sympathize or empathize with the snake. That's what America expects Israel to do. Israel's the problem. A lot of people agree with President Obama. There's some that are criticizing it, as I said. But there are nations, particularly those nations that surround Israel, that are applauding today. Because it's not any longer just the UN and that anti-Israel body. It's now the United States. I mean, John Kerry's speech was as unbalanced as the anti-Israel resolution itself. Netanyahu is right about that. What a year. What a year this has been. Carolyn Glick had a powerful piece just the other day, how that this isn't even just against Israel. what happened at the UN last week. This is a war that President Obama is waging against the United States. The United States deferring to the UN, looking to that international body for leadership. I don't have time to get into much of it. One little quote here says, when Obama chose to lead the anti-Israel lynch mob at the Security Council last week, he did more than deliver the PLO terrorist organization its greatest victory to date against Israel. He delivered a strategic victory to the anti-American forces that seek to destroy the coherence of American superpower status. That is, he carried out a strategic strike on American power. That's what happened just last week at the UN. And there's still a few more weeks to go before the administration changes. Well, we're already over time. I'm going to have to break it off there and maybe get into more of this again next week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you next week.